Good evening. It's good to be with you all tonight. When I began to hear how many people were going to be away, I wondered how many would be here this evening, and I am pleasantly surprised with the number tonight. This evening I'm going to talk about some words that we don't often talk about when talking about the Lord's Supper. We're going to talk about words like commemoration, proclamation, communion, dedication, anticipation. These are all words that are used during the institution of the Lord's Supper. And I think these are important words. I think if we understand these words, it brings a deeper appreciation for what we'll do in just a few moments from now. So I would ask that you have your Bibles ready and that you be ready to turn in your Bibles to make sure that what is stated from the pulpit is true and accurate. We can look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 and see very clearly that the early Christians, the early saints, ate the Lord's Supper. It's something that they partook in. We can't refute that fact. It's in Scriptures. It's there for a pattern for us. And we're to follow those apostolic examples, as Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9 would teach us. And so as we study together tonight, we want to look in a little bit more in depth into the Lord's Supper than probably we do in most cases, really looking at some of these words. And then next week we'll look at some errors that we are involved in and maybe some abuses that can happen around the Lord's Supper as well. And so that will be for next Sunday night. So would ask that if you're visiting with us, if you can, really try to be back again next Sunday night as we'll conclude this lesson. And so let's begin by looking at this idea of it being a commemoration. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, and what we'll do is we'll look into Scriptures to see where this is stated. And again, my hope and desire is with a lesson like this, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that this will maybe challenge you to understand, maybe refresh your memories if you already understand these principles, that maybe it's not so much of a tradition that we partake in on a Sunday, that it means something to you. And that's my hope and desire tonight with these words that we'll be looking at. In Luke chapter 22 and in verse 19 states this, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my blood, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so the idea of commemoration, it's the idea of a remembrance. Well, what are we remembering? Appreciate so much just a second ago the reading that was read for us. I want to make reference back to that. Here is the Lord in Luke chapter 22 is instituting the Lord's Supper. He establishes why. Why do we partake on the first day of the week? What's the lesson that we need to pull out of Luke chapter 22? Well, we partake of the Lord's Supper each and every first day of the week. First, because that's what's commanded of us. And secondly, we do this in remembrance of Him. Hold that thought. Let's look at Luke chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the text that was read for us just a moment ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 1 through 4, I'm going to read that again, and I want us to pay close attention to verses 3 and 4. That's really where the lesson for this point is coming from. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. The importance of doing this on a regular basis. When we look at Scriptures and it tells us to partake on the first day of the week, how many first days of the week are there in a year? Right? We do it more than quarterly. We do this more than every 6 months. We do this more than once a year. Why? Because God, through His Word, has told us on the first day of the week, this is what they did. And so we find in the dealing with the Corinthian church, as Paul writes to them, he's saying this is what they're standing in, right? In verse 2, "By which you are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I have preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We can look at Isaiah 53, other prophecies that were made about Christ. We can look into Matthew, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, all record the death of Christ. Prophecy was being fulfilled through Christ. And that's what we find when we look into God's holy and divine word. That Christ died according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to what? The Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. And so what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 4, that the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is right at the heart of the gospel message. And it's easy for us to lose that. In Jeremiah chapter 2, I believe it's in verse 32, we find that God's people, it's described in the first part of the verse, what kind of bride would forget her adornment. We think about that for just a second. If a woman's getting married, would she forget her wedding dress? No, that would be of prime importance to her. But in the latter part of the verse, it teaches us that God's people forgot the Lord. Forgot Him. And so what we don't want to have happen on the first day of the week is to become tradition for us. Or even worse yet, to go along with the idea of tradition, to partake and not even remember why we're doing it. Why do we partake of the Lord's Supper? And what significance does it have for you? That's what I hope to bring to light this evening with some of the thoughts that we'll look at. There's a song that we sometimes sing. Feast divine, all else surpassing, precious blood for you and me. While we sip, Christ gently whispers, do what? Do this in my memory. And so the very first point that I want to address pertaining to the Lord's Supper is this is a commemoration. It's a remembrance, right? You'll see on the board, there's a picture. I wouldn't have to ask anybody what that picture represents. We can all call to memory, right? Just like when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we call to remembrance that sacrifice that Christ made for us. And again, there are things that we might have to do to make sure that that is happening in our minds. Maybe it's a change of seat. Maybe it's getting to bed a little bit earlier on a Saturday night so our minds are fresh and we can keep them focused. It might mean staying up late on Saturday night taking care of business that you might have to do on a Sunday so you don't have to worry about that. So your mind is focused. The point is, we do whatever we can possibly do to make sure that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are truly partaking in remembrance of His death. Well, Scripture also teaches us that it's a proclamation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just over a couple of chapters, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you might want to mark this. We'll be flipping to it a couple of times, 10 and 11 in this lesson. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 26, this is what's recorded for us. Again, the institution of the Lord's Supper. Here, all these verses are centering around that thought. For as often as you drink, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. I've always wondered about that. What does it mean there? We proclaim the Lord's death. We often hear people talk about the Lord's Supper. We hear them talk about the sacrifice that was made, Jesus Christ. We talk about how much blood that might have been shed. We'll talk about His body and how it was abused and afflicted, how He was spat upon. But what does it mean to proclaim? We proclaim each and every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. It's kind of interesting. I looked some of these words up in a Bible dictionary, and this is what's recorded for us as far as a proclamation and what that means. A public or official announcement, especially one dealing with a matter of great importance. Of great importance. One way that Christians can proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord is through the Lord's Supper. You'll notice very quickly, if you're visiting with us, in a few moments as we partake of the Lord's Supper, It will not be a time of games. It won't be a time of reflection on earthly and worldly things. It will be a time of solemn reflection. And there'll be ones that partake of the Lord's Supper. And as we partake publicly of the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming to all who are here that we indeed believe that Jesus was the Christ, that He did live, that He did die, and He arose from the grave. And that's why we partake of the Lord's Supper. We tell our neighbors through the Lord's Supper about God's love and His grace and His salvation that He provides for all of us. We believe that. And that's what we stand in. If you're visiting with us, as you watch that happen tonight, you might notice that some don't partake. And you might ask the question, well, why are they not all partaking? Most of us, if not all of us that are Christians, did that this morning. And we offered again tonight for ones that were not here. And as they partake tonight, if that might be the case, they are doing exactly what we did this morning, proclaiming that we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We might say, well, that's not a significant point, but it is. Each and every time. That's why it cannot be routine for us. Each and every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim to all that we believe in Jesus and the sacrifice that He made. We also need to note in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16 that it's a communion. That's exactly what it states for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 16. The cup of blessings, blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Jesus Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Kind of struggled with this as a young guy. What in the world does this mean? I always just thought if I partook of the Lord's Supper, I ate the cracker and I drank the juice, that my responsibility was done on that day. Then you begin to mature and you begin to dive deeper and you begin to research and study and you begin to realize that it's more than just a cracker, it's more than just a juice. It's a communion. Well, communion with who? What does that word mean? Again, Bible Dictionary states this about the idea of a communion. See if this enhances your readiness to partake of the Lord's Supper and enhances the seriousness of what you do on the first day of the week. Sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. Now think about that for just a second. It's sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings. It's exactly what we do on the first day of the week. You've seen men stand before us on the first day of the week and begin to talk about the sacrifice that Jesus made and what ends up happening. There are men that will shed tears up here. Why? Because this is an intimate thing. It's a special thing. It's not a thing that we do out of habit. It's not a thing that we do on the first day of the week just to do it. It means something. It's significant. It's the sharing of intimate thoughts. Well, who do we share these thoughts with? You look into Scripture, you begin to realize that communion and fellowship come from the same word. And it simply means that we are sharing in His grace and salvation. It's exactly what's indicated to us in this verse here. We share in the grace and salvation that Christ supplied through His sacrifice. But it's not only with Christ that we share, but it's with each other as well. Look at verse 17, the very next verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 17, for we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And so it's not just a communion with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but it's also a special time that we are intimate. We exchange intimate thoughts one with another, feelings one with another. And a local congregation. It's what we did this morning. It's what will be happening in a few moments from now. And what's interesting, when you look at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 29, the supper is lauded for those who are Christians. That's who it's designed for. For those who are Christians, those who have submitted to God's will and been obedient to it. That's who the Lord's Supper is for. It's kind of interesting when you study in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 10, and 11, Paul makes this argument that eating meat in idols' temples unites that individual with the idol. Now, if that statement is true, and it is, he proves by this statement that showing, and in verse 16, that eating the supper unifies us, the Christian, with Christ. You see, it's a special time. It's a communion. It's sharing some of the most intimate, deep feelings that we will ever have. It takes a lot to make me cry. It's happened a few times. But around the Lord's Supper, there is always emotion that's on the verge of flowing. And that's the way it should be for us. Again, it's not a routine type of thing. It's an intimate thought process that we go through, that we experience feelings and emotions. It's to be deep in nature. It's a communion. It also teaches us that it's a dedication. It's exactly what we find in Matthew chapter 26. Let's go back to that text for just a moment tonight. In Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 28. Matthew 26 and in verse 28 again, it says this: "For this is my blood of the new covenant." We're going to center around that tonight, the new covenant, "which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So what is a dedication? Simply put, it's a covenant. It's a covenant. But when we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's a covenant. Well, that might not mean a whole lot to us today, but when we look in the Old Testament, that was a very significant thing that happened. And when we understand and appreciate in the Old Testament what a covenant was, what it meant, and how it was established, it should have great significance to us when we partake of the Lord's Supper. Again, this point should teach us this is not something to take lightly. There's consequences with partaking of the Lord's Supper. And we'll look at that in just a moment from now. Again, I looked in the Bible dictionary at this idea of dedication. It says this: the quality of being dedicated or committed to a task or a purpose. Dedication to his duty. Another word that's used in the Bible dictionary, the word commitment. Now that's interesting. Are you committed when you partake of the Lord's Supper? You know, we'll talk about next Sunday night the idea of partaking in a worthy manner and what that means. I think we get that wrong a lot when we talk about it. What does it mean to partake in a worthy manner? I believe it connects with this thought here, this idea of being committed. Is our hearts in it? Are our minds in it? Are we truly given to what we are doing? Now think about that. One might quickly say yes, but what does your life tell on you? What does it say? Are we committed Christians? Are we really committed to the work of God? Are we committed to Him, doing all that we can to be pleasing to Him? Do we love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind? Or is that what fills us up? If it's not, can we truly say we are committed? You see, the Lord's Supper is a dedication. It's a covenant. Again, we think about the Old Testament. They would have understood this point very, very clear. It's something that's maybe been lost through the generations. Look at Exodus chapter 24 for just a moment. We think about the idea of testament or covenant in the New Testament. It is always referring to the sealing or the ratifying of agreements. Blood always did that. In Exodus chapter 24, beginning in verse 5, we're going to read a little bit about this. Let's just begin in verse 5. Exodus 24 and verse 5. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrifices, peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it on the basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in its hearing of the people. And he said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. We'll talk about that in the latter part of verse 7 in just a moment from now. But I want us to note already, when we talk about this idea, this covenant that was being established, notice how it was established. With blood. A sacrifice needed to be made. The death of something. We'll talk about that and maybe some significance to that point in just a moment from now. In verse 8, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. God promised to bless the people. What did they promise to do in return? Look at the latter part of verse 7. What did they promise to do? We will be obedient. You see, it goes back to that very word that we talked about, this idea of covenant, this idea of dedication. It's the idea of commitment. Through thick and thin, through easy and the joy times as well as the hard times, we are committed to God. And that's exactly what's expressed in this covenant that was being established. God would do his part, they would do their part, and it was rectified or established with blood. Blood brought the contract together, the parties together, the agreement was made. Now think about that for just a second. What does the supper represent? As we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we've done this morning, and it will be offered again tonight, what does that represent? Does it not represent a blood-ratified covenant between Christ and Christians? Is that not what it represents? Christ gave his life. His blood was shed for you and me. We often sing songs before we partake of the Lord's Supper about that. His blood made the covenant possible between him and us. He promises forgiveness. He promises hope. He promises peace. That's exactly what we find in Ephesians chapter 3, 1 and verse 3, where it teaches that all spiritual blessings are found in him. That's what he promises us. He promises us the things that we strive so much for: forgiveness, peace, and hope. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we bind ourselves to him in obedience. You see, there's much to partaking of the Lord's Supper. It's not something to do lightly. We are making an oath with God when we partake of the Lord's Supper that we will be obedient to him. Let me ask you a question. As you pledge that this morning to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, did you do so with sincerity? Those of you that will partake tonight around the Lord's Supper, can you honestly say that you are committed to God? If not, you need to. The idea of covenant, that's what it means. And the precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed so that us and God can be brought nigh together. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to be thinking about that. It also teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. I love this verse. It's one that I often turn to and read when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper. Even when the fellow who's leading the Lord's Supper doesn't, I often turn there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26, again, As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. The idea of anticipation. It's the idea of expectation. We think about anticipation. We're waiting for something. We're expecting something. You know, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, our hearts should be filled with hope, with peace, and we should have a sense of calm. And this hope should be rekindled every week. And think about it in this light. When we're not here and we miss partaking of the Lord's Supper, or we partake and we do not do so in a worthy manner, I believe the Scriptures teach us that we lose strength. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 29, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." You think about that for just a few moments tonight. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we do so realizing that this will only go on for a certain period of time, till he comes. And so we joyously partake of the Lord's Supper. Thoughtfully, very purposely, partake of the Lord's Supper. But even as Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, we're taught that he taught about the resurrection. And I'm grateful for it. And so I hope as you, if you are partaking tonight, that you'll think about these words, that you'll think about the significance about what you're doing, that this indeed is a commemoration, it's a remembrance, it's a proclamation you're making known publicly to all those that are in presence tonight, that you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in the sacrifice that he made, and you believe in his resurrection. It's a time of deep consideration and deep thought. It's a time to battle with your feelings and your emotions. It's a dedication. You're reaffirming to yourself and to God that you are committed to being who God has called you to be. As we looked at just a second ago, we do all of these things with great expectation to someday being in heaven and experiencing the glories there. As I said, next week we'll finish this lesson up. We'll talk about some of the pitfalls that we fall into when partaking of the Lord's Supper. But I hope and pray tonight that through a couple of verses that we've looked at, you'll understand the seriousness of what you're doing. What you continue to do every first day of the week, as long as you live on this side of eternity. There's much to be appreciative when we think about the Lord's Supper. Much to be thankful for. The sacrifice that he made for us. But there's also much joy in remembering the Lord as well. Just like we do at any funeral service, we reflect upon the life. Remember the great things that the individual that has passed, what they've done. We sometimes laugh at funerals. We like to remember the good. The great and wonderful thing about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is we do those things in remembrance. But he has gone on, and he reigns in his kingdom today. And he lives for moments like this to give you the opportunity to make your life right with him. And we hope and pray that you'll do that tonight. You're here and you're not a Christian, I humbly ask of you to reflect upon some of the thoughts that we've talked about tonight. But what the Lord's Supper represents, and understand that only those that are Christians should be partaking of the Lord's Supper. And my hope and desire is that it will intrigue you to ask questions about how do I get right with my Lord. And I'll be happy to sit down with you tonight and study with you to teach you about how to become a child of God.
that you might have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that covenant can be established with you and your God. If you're here, you're ready to move, won't you come to the front or raise your hand while we stand and while we stand?